Hello, hello. This is Yuri Margolin with Moving Sales Professionals. We got yet another episode of our podcast, Let's Talk Moving. And with me today, I have a real treat. So I have Mr. Jay Fairbrother, a serial entrepreneur, business coach, and mastermind guru with 30 years of experience starting, buying, and selling seven-figure businesses. Jay's story includes losing everything after the 2010 financial crisis and rising from the shame to shine as the mastermind guy. Jay helps coaches and experts with mastermind mastery launch your high-end mastermind in 60 days. And by the way, he also happens to be the man who gave me my first call center sales job and got me to where I am today. And by the way, still using the stuff I learned as a 17, 18-year-old. How are you doing today, Jay?
Great, Yuri. Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, such a crazy story. A lot of people in 2010 ended up in that position. I mean, I didn't own a business yet. I was still trying to, you know, finish school, just getting things started, switching over, moving to Maryland, getting things going here. So still very, very early in the journey that got me to where I am right now. So with losing all that, how did you get yourself together basically to start again and get you back up to where you are today?
Yeah, good question. So to give it context, so the business that you worked in, that I had started, over about 10 or 12 years, I grew that business to 10 million in annual revenue and a couple hundred employees. And I sold it in 2004. And so the next few years were a lot of fun, you know, traveled, bought some businesses, invested in lots of different things. And then, you know, between 2008 and that crisis was like 2008, 2010, by 2012, I had lost everything. So I, you know, quite literally went from being a multimillionaire living in a mansion to living in my friend's basement without a car. And the initial reaction to that was actually easier in a sense than it was several years later. And what I mean by that is when you go through that kind of traumatic experience, you go into survival mode. So, you know, initially it was just like, how do I get out of this freaking basement? Like every day you wake up, how do I get out of this basement? You know, how do I get a car? And so you go into that survival mode, which for me lasted, you know, a few years. And then it actually is where it got really hard because you're beyond the survival mode. You haven't built back what you had before and you're still dealing with all that shame and isolation and humiliation. And so the long story is that, or the short, you know, the end of the moral of the story or whatever is that I spent 5 months literally in that basement, but I spent over 5 years figuratively in that basement. So it's just a process, you know, you gotta wake up and believe in yourself and believe that you can recreate something. And it took me a while to get there. It's been a long journey. I've done lots of different things to try to get back to something that I wake up every day and I absolutely love what I do. You know, I know I'm less concerned now with the money I make. It's more about how do I, you know, live a lifestyle that I want to live and help people along the way. And that's what I'm doing now, which is primarily helping experts of any kind, as well as coaches and speakers and authors to create mastermind groups that where they can create learning and collaboration and tap the experience of other peers in whatever industry they're in or teach their expertise to others in a way that not only gets great results, but creates significant revenue for their business. So that's what I do now.
And now for a quick message from our sponsors. If you're a moving business owner, you may have already heard of Moversville, an email marketing service that helps moving companies increase repeat and referral business. But have you heard of Moversville Connect? Moversville Connect is an incredible resource for all things moving. They feature an array of vendors and services that cater specifically to the moving industry. You can find companies that provide moving software, moving sales services, marketing services, moving equipment providers, and much, much more. Visit moversville.com to learn more. That's interesting. We're going to have to talk about that again separately. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So I'm just curious. Obviously, you were running a call center. We were doing sales. You know, we were doing fundraising for all those nonprofits, big time companies. You know, Sierra Club, Smithsonian, all the Democratic organizations you could possibly think of. And we had Heritage Foundation at one time, and then there was a bunch of others, just groups in general. And I'm almost curious, because I think you personally hired me, and I don't know if you remember any of this, but what did you see in me? I don't know if you remember any of that. This is such a long time ago at this point. I mean, I was 17, 18 years old. I've never done sales before in my life. And, you know, obviously it's my life at this point.
Yeah. So what I saw was a somewhat, I wouldn't use the word cocky, but the cockiness that comes from youth, and slightly obnoxious, and yep. But smart and fun and funny, and those to me are critical ingredients to be successful in sales. You know, you've got to be willing to kind of be a personality and put yourself out there, but doing it in a way which is authentic, that's critical. I remember hiring you, and I remember that I wasn't surprised that you did well.
No, that's great. Well, thank you once again. I appreciate it, because the interesting part between working for you on two different occasions, because I was there before you sold the business, and I was also there after it was sold for a little bit as well. And actually, I got fired. I got fired because there was a certain manager that I ended up flicking off. I'm guilty. I did it. I got fired for it. But yeah, it wasn't you though. It was somebody else. It was a certain gentleman named Jamie. I'm not going to go into last names, but those people that were there, they probably know who I'm talking about. But anyway, you know, the interesting part is that having that call center experience was such a big thing, because coming back all these years later, I opened up this company in 2018. I've used everything I learned when I was there, between putting together a sales team, between using some of the techniques and some of the cases for giving, so to speak. You don't have as much of a case for giving for a moving company, obviously, but it's similar in a sense of why should they choose your moving company or one of my clients, one of my moving companies? Why should they choose you versus your competition? Why? Why? Same thing, you know, when we're doing charity work, obviously, why spend $50, $100, $10,000 in the case of Sierra Club giving to one place versus giving to some other place? You know, what's the reason? And for me personal, I always got creative with that, because we got these massive, not necessarily always, we had scripts, but we also got massive amount of information and different stories, like Sierra Club, for example. We got all these things that they were doing, right? And I would sit down and look at the new thing, and I found the most compelling reasons that were the most compelling reasons for me. Why would I want to give somebody money? And I would cut that up, and before I know it, you know, the whole sales team ended up using what I put together, and it worked. And it's something that we do certainly every day with the current stuff. It comes to dealing with the quirkiness of salespeople, because certainly when I started with you, obviously I had zero experience. And then 4, 5, maybe 6 months later, you guys got me to a point where I was a mentor, when I was teaching new people that most of them were twice, sometimes three times my age, how to do this and how to do it the right way, which was, looking back at that now, you're like, wow, I was 17, 18 years old. And, you know, I was doing all that. And, but today, all these years later, it was all that experience that I had working with you guys was so, so instrumental to what I'm doing today. Because, you know, I used to always say, I hate sales, but I'm very good at it. It's a curse. But today I would say I love sales. There's no but, and, or it's just something that I'm very good at, and good enough to teach other people to do it, good enough to do what we do. But I think it's important, when just in general, sales industry, is very interesting. It's also has the people in the industry are so quirky. There's a lot of times that I find myself on top of everything else, also being almost like a Dr. Phil at times, where I have to calm my managers down because they're having a rough day, or calm my salespeople down because they had a customer that just completely obliterated anything that they did and they were being helpful and going above and beyond. And it's just, it's building that whole thing. So yeah, I mean, it's between coaching, I think I do a lot of that. I wouldn't necessarily call it that per se, because that's not my focus. But I do it all the time. And I do it with my clients, because I say, hey, this is what you need to do if you want to be a successful business in this industry. But that would apply to any industry, really. Yeah. And you do that all the time now, right? And now for a quick message from our sponsors. For a limited time only, we have partnered with an SEO and marketing company with discounted rates for their services. Schedule an appointment via Calendly link below to learn more. Thank you. And now getting back to the podcast.
Yeah. So if I can dissect a couple of things that you mentioned, is, as you said, we provided scripts back in that day, but you would have gotten fired if we caught you actually reading a script to somebody. Mm-hmm. So we very much encouraged people to improvise, to put it in their own words, and to do what they felt was authentic to them, and to
you need to sound real,
quirkiness in what they're doing, right?
And you need to sound real. You need to either be yourself or be an alter ego, but that alter ego needs to sound authentic, or you need to be yourself and sound authentic. And yeah, that's so important, because people identify, they can tell if you're being fake.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of, you know, what we were doing back then, which was contrary to what was common in the sales training industry. Mm-hmm. To the point that I got pushback. I don't know if you remember this part, but we as a firm, we had the highest rates by far in the industry for getting people to put their donations onto a credit card. Mm-hmm. And the reason that was important is because people get, you know, caught up in the moment, and yes, mm-hmm. I'll send you $100, mm-hmm. and then, you know, okay, we'll send you a pledge form in the mail and send a check back. And of course, the drop-off rate, you know, is significant, because, mm-hmm. you know, life happens and things, you know, they're not, right. not in the emotion part of it at that point. So we did some things that were very counterintuitive at the time, that allowed us to get those donations on credit card. And then that was all about trust, right?
Yeah, and we did that. We also did we had all these fun things that we were doing. We were doing $1 a day, 20 cents a day. We were doing like all these symbolic numbers that seemed to resonate and really, really work with people, where, you know, it's 5 cents a day to help an orca or something like that. You know, it's like, it was all these things that we did. Yeah. And that's something, I mean, not to the same extent, but we do that in the moving industry a lot too. When we talk to, there's people that talk to me about scripts all the time. And I said, script is something that you want to start off with when it's somebody that's not familiar with the industry. But script serves more as a guideline, right, rather than the rule, because ultimately we need to obtain the same information regardless. In what order you obtain it, and it really does not matter all that much, as long as the information is obtained, as long as the information is delivered, as long as everything is said that needs to be said, and as long as the client agrees to it. And that's kind of the same thing that we did. And when I was working for you, it was certainly interesting, and it definitely tickled my creative side and allowed me to probably blossom, I would say, in that regard, because of the way that you did things. If you were doing something differently, I probably wouldn't have been as successful as I was, especially being as young as I was.
Yeah. So one of the things we figured out pretty early on, and it's just because we had the numbers to actually look at what was happening and mm-hmm. you know, look at data and that kind of thing, is that it's all about confidence. So what I say is, sales is 80% confidence and 20% art. Sales can never be a science, because it's a two-way conversation, right? Marketing right. can be a science, right? You can put right. the same exact message out to, you know, 10,000 people and measure your results and tweak the message here and there. But sales, you can't do that. It's a conversation. So what we figured out is that the most important factor, and I use this to this day whenever I'm hiring salespeople or whatever, is their confidence level. And what that doesn't, it doesn't mean confidence in themselves, or that doesn't mean that they have like a Pollyanna outlook on life. Mm-hmm. It's just that they're able to leave the last call behind and approach the next call with the confidence to say, okay, this call is going to be great. I'm going to have a successful outcome. And if you can approach the calls with that mindset, you can make a lot of mistakes and still be successful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, back what I learned a long time ago when I looked at the data is that the top 20% of the salespeople in terms of results weren't necessarily the top 20% in the people using sales skills, but they got there. In other words, they could be making all kinds of mistakes on the calls, but because they had that positive outlook and towards a positive outcome, they were successful, right? Now, maybe not the top 5%, they needed the confidence and some sales skills. But
yeah, I don't know which percentage I was in, to be honest.
I'm not going to tell you.
That's okay. It doesn't matter. I mean, I was there where I was, and I'm, you know, I obviously had no sales techniques when I started working for you. So,
no, but you quickly rose to the top 20% for sure.
Yeah, I always knew I was in the top 20. That was definitely easily, I don't know, if maybe even maybe as far higher. As, for, maybe higher, maybe as high as yeah. top 10. I don't know about the top 5, but yeah, I mean, it's, I think it's important. I think you need to be real. I think you need to have an outlook, because so much of it was also about not just what you say, but how you say it. I remember we were having conversations about using your inflections when you spoke, in terms of, you know, how not necessarily sounding like a valley girl at times, where your voice goes up at the end of the sentence and you sound like you're asking a question, but you're not really asking a question. It was things like that. It was almost like ending it, like the way that you ended, even ended. It's like things like it's little things if you think about it, but those are things could be a difference between somebody being comfortable with you and confident with you. And with us, obviously, we're representing different companies, and obviously, we represented different charities when I worked at your call center. And you know, that's the same thing would apply. Those things, you know, it's definitely running a call center in general, hiring salespeople in general. That's definitely a science, I think, within itself. And it's a hard thing, because people are, especially salespeople, they are definitely quirky. You need to accept it, because there's no way around it. It's, and I'm running into that consistently with, you know, we've been doing this, what, year 5 that we're in right now. And I would like to say that we probably have the top salespeople in the industry right now. Honestly, I love my salespeople. My salespeople are great. And that's the biggest commodity that I have. You can deal without a lot of things, but you can't do this type of work without the good salespeople. So yeah. You guys, certainly, I remember the people that I was surrounded by when I worked for you, and you definitely had some of the salespeople that I'll be honest, I try to recruit them to come here on quite a few occasions. Unfortunately, some of them are in Pittsburgh, so it's hard to get them over here, but I've chatted with quite a few.
Yeah.
So I still would love to get Jessie. She's awesome. I love that girl. If I could get her to come and work for me, that would be awesome. I know she had some family trauma going on, and I'd love to get her at some point. But yeah, no, it's a pleasure to have you, and certainly to get more sales minded and sales oriented regarding everything that's going on, especially because that's our focus so much. And it's a pleasure having you. I'd love to have you on some sort of a round the table discussion at some point. That's something that we're certainly going to do down the road, but it's a pleasure having you. And as I always say, the world moves on its own. So let the professionals move yours for you. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Anytime. I'll end with, you know, there aren't that many people out there that love sales. Most people hate sales. Especially when, you know, you're starting out, the people who learn to love it, are, it's because they've had some success, and then they continue to get better and improve and that kind of thing. And it can be, you know, really fun once you we get to that level.
Absolutely. Gotta love the chase.
Yeah. So it's a matter of, you know, it's not trying to teach people to love sales. It's trying to teach people to, you know, kind of things we've mentioned here is to be authentic, you know, understand that you got to ask a lot more questions than you do, you know, spew, you know, corporate speak and features and benefits. And that's what ultimately will make the best salespeople.
Absolutely. Well, once again, thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you.